Good morning. This is Sunday morning, January 12th, about 11:30. We just completed our 15-minute meditation, which we have every Sunday, in which we just open ourselves to the inflow of Christ, of the Father, and let it flow through to whom and wherever it will. Not directing it, just being an instrument, just bearing witness. And we finished that, and now we're going into our weekly talk. We have been reviewing this wonderful book called Leave Your Nets by Joel. And we have gotten all the way to chapter 12, called Fishers of Men. I believe there's only four more chapters after this. So, settle down if you haven't, if you didn't join us in this morning's meditation, or if it's a different part of the day, it could be evening or night, wherever you are. Pause and have a silent time so that you may be receptive to what is revealed to you from within. When we hear something outside and we hear someone talking and suddenly there's a revelation, we see something we never saw before, that's a revelation within. All truth is within you. And even though you read something of Joel's and something inside of you says, aha, I knew it. You see, it was within you already. The entire kingdom of heaven is within you, within your consciousness. So get quiet, be still, be receptive, and see if you can't receive Him. Chapter 12, Fishers of Men. In spiritual literature, Joel says, and in scripture, there are many references which might indicate to you that you must change your way of life, or you must do something in order to earn the grace of God. Remember what I say to you now. The responsibility is not on your shoulders, nor is it on any other person's shoulders. I know we would like to think, well, I'm not learning anything from that teacher, but it's not the teacher. It's what's within you. You may not receive anything through that teacher, so you go find another one, and eventually you'll find the one that you line up with, that you are in tune with, and you'll receive what you need. But all the time it's coming to you from that Christ within. Even as this talk today is coming to me from the Christ within, and to you from the Christ within. So he says, therefore, I ask you to refrain from all indulgence in criticism or judgment of everyone in the world, and more particularly, judgment, criticism, condemnation, or belittling of yourself. And that's something that I have to work on, because I feel after 50, almost 50 years, I should be farther than I am. But he says here, no criticism, no condemnation or belittling of yourself and your own understanding, because the responsibility to improve yourself is not on your shoulders. It is on the shoulders of the Christ. Yes, the government is on his shoulders. Rest more in the realization of the Christ as that which is leading, guiding, and directing you. Never believe that the saints, sages, and seers of the world became, by some great act of their own will, became saints, sages, and seers, because it isn't true. So, there's two words. Rest more in the Christ. All of this comes down to, it's really strange, isn't it? Because in the beginning, when we come to a spiritual way of life, we have a number of problems. Lack, limitation, disease, which is not at ease. So in some form or another, we have problems. We turn to a spiritual answer, spiritual way of living for answers. And sometimes we experience a healing or more than one. Sometimes our entire past is in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, is laid down. And a new life begins. And we know something wonderful has happened. Joel talked about his experience when he went to a teacher. He had a problem. A really bad flu. He had the flu and it was bad, a bad case. He went to this guy's house. I think it was, I don't know what his name was. I think the last name was Landing. Anyway, he knocked on the door and he said, "Will you help me?" And the man said, "I don't work on Saturday," or whatever it was. And he said, "Please," through his sniffles. And the guy said, "Okay, come on in." And they meditated. And when he left, not only was his cold, his flu gone, but he was an entirely changed person. But his past had fallen away. He didn't know it yet. He could no longer gamble or smoke or womanize. People came up to him and said, "Joel, I don't know what religion you have, but I feel like if you pray for me, this problem I have would disappear." And so what could he do? He said, he closed his eyes and he said, "Father, I don't know what to say. You say something," which in itself is a surrender. And then the guy tugged on his shirt sleeve. "Thanks, great, my headache's gone." You remember all that? So sometimes it can be a tremendous spiritual experience and we lay down our past life and become something new. But for many of us, we come to the search for truth with many problems, and a few or maybe all of them are healed. And then we get really interested. And then we discover, much to our dismay, it's not here so we can make $1,000,000. It's not here to have the perfect companion. It's not here to run a 20-mile marathon and beat everyone. No, we find out that we have to lose our life. And so little by little we surrender things. And we come into the experience of Christ taking over. And so he says here, "The master walked the hillside and chose each disciple. His promise was, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.'" Perhaps you think that they were men of high understanding because they obeyed. Oh no. They had no power not to obey. They had no more power to resist the Master than you and I have right now. When the Master says, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men," you will obey. You have already obeyed in the sacrifice of time, money, and effort, study and meditation that you are making. You have already shown that you have no capacity to resist the activity of the Christ in your consciousness. Even if you have the will or the desire, which of course you do not have, but if you had, and if you lack the understanding, the wisdom, the courage, or the determination, it still would make no difference because there is that in you which is greater than your human sense of rebellion or your desire for ease in matter. The human being has so many things to occupy him, tickets for theaters, meetings to attend, sports events, that he does not respond to the activity of the Christ. But once the finger has touched a person, and he is called, rest assured that he will follow. Now, way back in the 70s, when I was purchasing Herb Fitch talks, tapes, they were $25 a piece. $25 a piece. If he was giving a seminar in San Diego, and it was 9 months away or 6 months away, you spent $150 on the tapes that came to you each month, one each month before the seminar. And then you spent another $250 for the weekend of classes. Usually, I think, Thursday or Friday through Sunday, and individual sessions were on Monday. Now, that was a total of $400. So you had to invest something in your time and money, didn't you? And I can remember my first wife complaining to me. We lived in Pasadena, California, and she was complaining to me because she wanted to spend time going out dancing. And I have nothing against dancing, but I wanted to spend my time traveling down to South Pasadena to listen to a Joel Goldsmith tape. There was a tape group down there in the hotel. I think it was the Green Hotel, something like that. Anyway, I went down there and listened to tapes, and then she was mad because she wanted to go dancing. And eventually we separated. She went on her way with people that liked to dance, and I went on my way with no one for a while, just myself and God. It was tough. But the point I'm making here is he says, you have already shown you have no capacity to resist the activity of the Christ in your consciousness. And I couldn't. I couldn't. I had to hear these talks. I worked through the week, and on the weekend I had to go hear these talks. I didn't want to go out dancing. So he says, once the finger has touched a person and he is called, rest assured that he will follow. The Master sent his disciples out without purse and with scrip, and on another occasion with purse and with scrip. They went, and they survived. He took some of them to the mountaintop. He took them. Did they go of themselves? No, he took them. Did they have the power to resist? No. Nor have you, nor have I. This is a life by grace. Everything that transpires in your life today, and listen to this, this is a promise if you're walking this way. Everything that transpires in your life today, and everything that transpires from now on to eternity, is and will be an act of grace. See, if you're turning within and following that master, then everything from now on will be an act of grace. Oh, he says, I know there are a few of you, maybe I am one of those too, who will resist for a little while. Here and there you will turn aside to indulge some personal sense, some personal will, some personal ambition, but you will be forced back because it is not given to you to resist the Christ. It is not given to you to refute or refuse when the call comes. True, you may be guilty of denying the Master, even 3 times. You may be guilty of betrayal. You may be guilty of falling asleep in your Garden of Gethsemane. What difference does it make? Do not be disturbed by it. Do not be alarmed by it. Do not condemn yourself for your shortcomings. Just realize that that is part of the illusion that may be inevitable, but because of divine grace, ultimate salvation is even more inevitable. All right, so he says here, it is not given to you to refute or to refuse when the call comes. You may turn aside or indulge in some personal sense, but you will be forced back. Now, this is true. I've told you this story before. I was married before the marriage I have now, which is going on 30 years. So I guess this would have been 32 or 3 years ago. And the lady I was married to, she was getting sick. And she was getting sicker and sicker. And I was praying. I was praying and praying, and she was getting sicker and sicker, and I could not see through the situation. Oh, sometimes I would feel the presence, but nothing changed. And I began to, well, I guess I began to throw a tantrum, really. I began to get mad at God. Why can't you heal this? Other things have been healed. Other people have been healed. Why can't you heal this? Why won't you heal this? It threw me into studying deeper into the infinite way. But then eventually, I found that part of this was self-will on her part. She had 36 prescriptions. Prescriptions to lift her up, prescriptions to put her down. It was somewhat of self-will on her part to have all those drugs. And her higher power was her God was her job, because she was a substance abuse counselor. Isn't that strange? Well, but I loved her, and I wanted to take care of her. I guess that was my codependent phase. Anyway, I wanted to take care of her, so I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed, and she got worse and worse and worse. Eventually, I got so mad and frustrated with God because he wouldn't do my bidding when I snapped my fingers. So I said, all right, fine. I don't want any more of this infinite way. That was about 32 or 3 years ago. No more. I took all my tapes, and I had first edition tapes and books. I tore them up in pieces. I pulled the tape out, and snapped it in half, cracked those things, cassette tapes, in half, threw everything in the trash. That's it. I'm done. No more infinite way. Now, I'm just going to be a normal person. I'm going to be normal. I'm going to sit and enjoy my wife, watch TV. I'm done with God. Don't bother me. What does it say here? It says, you will be forced back because it's not given to you to resist the Christ. Well, I didn't know that at that time. I thought I was doing pretty good. I had pushed God away, and that's it. Now I'm done with you. Don't bother me. I'm watching TV in the evenings. Everything's rolling along pretty smoothly. Hey, I'm okay. There's no lightning that struck me for disobeying. None of that. We really carry our religious training around, don't we, for so long? It's so hard to get out from under it. Well, I guess a couple, 3 months have gone by. And it's not so bad. I go to work. I come home in the evening. We watch TV together. And I'm not reading any more books or listening to any more talks. And things are okay. But she was still getting worse. And her scratching, you know, you take a lot of drugs, you start scratching, you start itching, was making it almost impossible to sleep at night. So I went in the other bedroom to sleep. And about the third night in the other bedroom, I was awakened in the middle of the night, maybe 4 o'clock. Now, if you know me, I never get up before 8 because I enjoy staying up till 2. So to wake up at 4 o'clock is very unusual for me. And the voice said, meditate. And you know, when you're half asleep, you forget the decisions you made 3 months ago. You forget that you weren't going to meditate. I forgot. I heard the voice say, meditate. So I walked out to the living room. I sat on the couch. And I meditated. And I think the theme was something like, what came to me was something like, Father, descend in me. Lift me up into you. Let there be no personal sense, but only thou, Father. And as I sat there, I felt the familiar tingling of the presence on my arm. But it didn't stop there. It spread down my whole left side. And it didn't stop there. It spread down my right side. My entire body was that tingling presence. And then it filled the living room that I was in. That entire room was the presence, and I was the presence. And then it filled the house. I could feel myself in the entire house, every nook and cranny. That presence was I, and I was that presence. And I knew next it's going to be infinite. And right at that second, I remembered that I had thrown God away. And so I became frightened. Maybe we're going to have a meeting. He's going to bawl me out, you know. But that was just the human being returning. And things subsided, and I came back to myself. And then I realized, in the next day or two, I had thrown God away, and He came looking for me. He came looking for me at 4 o'clock in the morning. Found me. So when I read something that says, it's not given to you to resist the Christ. It's not given to you to refute or refuse when the call comes. You will be forced back. Oh, I know that. Trust me. I know that very well. And so I got back on the path. The lady and I separated. She went on her way and has passed on since then. And I'm still here, still following this silly little path. And, of course, I love God with all my heart, mind, and soul. So, says Joel, it's much more inevitable that Peter heal a man at the temple gate beautiful than that he deny the Christ. His denial of the Christ was only an incident, one of those little instances of human being falling temporarily by the wayside. Do not judge this too harshly. You may do the same thing. You may. And I did. There are persons in this world who, for some reason or other, temporarily are permitting themselves to forego their full-hearted devotion to their following of the Christ, but be merciful, kind, and just to them. That's just a little tinge of humanhood. Yes. There is no real harm in it. It's but a temporary lapse. And I am here to tell you that's the truth. The inevitability is that in spite of all those experiences, the disciples would awaken and have the Pentecostal experience in which the Holy Ghost descended upon them. And that's what happened to me in my living room at 4 a.m. The Holy Ghost descended upon me, lifted me up. So he says, everybody has to live by his own state of consciousness. And this is so true. You know, we have kids, grandkids, we want to help them. And so we loan them money and we buy things for them, try to get them on the right track. But it doesn't help. It doesn't help. You can't hang oranges on somebody else's tree. You can, but it won't last long. They have to learn how to cultivate, grow that tree so that the oranges come from within. And so we have to live by our own consciousness. As much as I would have loved to live by my teacher's consciousness, one by one they left planet Earth as time passed. So I had to live by my own consciousness. That saying, if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. Oh, how I understand that saying. Because, as most of you know, my first teacher left after I'd known him only for 2.5 years. He left that night that we were both talking at the church. And I had to live by my own consciousness, but I did. I did, and I am living by my own consciousness, and I found the Father within. And now I live by the Father within, which is why my email is called I Am Within. That's where God is. All right, so it says here, in the fourth dimensional world, you live by grace, by not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. Okay, this is what we should be living by. If you're living by investments, or you're living by your work, or you're living by your spouse, or you're living by whatever out here, then you're living by somebody else's personal sense. And you're living in a personal sense, depending on a personal sense, wrapped up in an illusion. Not too good. Here on this path, we learn together that we're living by our Father within. Our Father really is there. And it is the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom, to give us abundance, to give us longevity, to give us health, to give us companionship, fellowship with one another. You know, wouldn't it be nice to get together? I've been feeling that way lately. I haven't put anything together, and I don't have anything concrete. But wouldn't it be nice to have a weekend of classes together and share some fellowship? I think it would. All right. So, not by might, nor by power, not by dividing what is already in this world, nor living off another, but by the degree of his own demonstrated Christ. He says, you may be surprised and shocked at some of the things that you see, even in those who are apparently have gone some distance on the path, but be charitable. This is just a little human weakness. Christ is going to dissolve it. Now here's something that I underlined, and you might want to highlight it or whatever you do. The activity of the Christ is the dissolution of humanhood, your weaknesses and your illusions. Well, here now I thought that the activity of Christ was going to give me a better income. I thought the activity of Christ was going to give me a better companion. I thought the activity of Christ was going to give me better health, better vitality. No. That's not the promise. Here's the promise. The activity of the Christ in your consciousness is the dissolution of humanhood. And so, if you begin to experience and consistently experience the Christ, more and more of personal sense is going to dissolve right where you stand or sit or lay. More and more is going to dissolve. And apparently, we can't change our minds. Uh-oh, I don't want to do that. Because it grabs you and pulls you back. Be patient with one another. Be patient with yourself. Forgive yourself. Pick yourself up again. You have no choice. Inevitably, the voice will sound in your ear, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. You will know then that it is I calling, and I is that presence that descended in me and lifted me up into itself at 4 a.m. I is that presence that I felt. Yes, okay. That I am feeling right now. That I've felt also in our morning meditation. And that I is calling. You will know then that it is not your will, and therefore you cannot experience either success or failure. Yes, take that personal sense out of here. You cannot fail. You cannot succeed. You should not be there. It should be Christ. It is not your will, and therefore you cannot experience either success or failure. Remember that you cannot succeed or fail. Why? Because I have called you and made you fishers of men, and it will be my success working in you and through you for my purpose, and you will be but the instrument. Now, I've had that experience where someone asked me to meditate, and I meditated, and I didn't feel much of anything. And then the next thing, the person called and said, wonderful, the problem has disappeared. The doctors see no trace. And I said, well, great, and hung up. But I knew it must have been Christ, because I sure didn't feel or know or think or do anything. I just was available. I read that somewhere. Christ doesn't care about your ability. Christ cares about your availability. Because I have called you and made you fishers of men, and it will be my success working in you and through you for my purpose, and you will be but the instrument. And that's what that was. The I that called you is the only success. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I will do that. What is this I? Who is this I? Where is this I? Is not this I of our own being God? Then which is more potent, a material remedy or I within? The dollars in your bank or I within? Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Follow the I within you, the Father within. Did you know that the Father is within your consciousness? Yes. Your consciousness being infinite is the Father. Oh, not your little consciousness of a personal sense of self, but the consciousness that descends upon you and lifts you up into itself and says, I am the way. That is the Father, the infinite Father. So follow this Christ, this principle, this spirit that abides within your own being, and see if in relinquishing your material dependencies in life, see if a higher, finer, more joyous spiritual life, as manifested in better health and more abundant supply, does not unfold. But remember, that's not the Christ's. Here's the thing. We want to come to Christ and hold out a bucket. Please, sir, like Oliver Twist, can I have a little more? Oh, that's so strange, but we all do that. We're asking the infinite for a drop, like standing near the ocean, not close enough to touch it because we're afraid of it, but close enough to say, could I have a drop, please? You can have the whole ocean. Just jump in. So we come with our bucket, and we want God to fill it. I really need a job. I really need a tooth that's working. I need a better leg. I need a better lung. I need a better legal procedure. I need a better companion. I need a better house. I need a better car. I need a better whatever it is, computer. God is patient with us and probably smiles. We're starting back home. The prodigal son is starting back home. God's on the way to meet us. As he meted me in the dead of the night. And we turn within and we think that we're going to get these things. And instead we find out, wait a minute, Christ is supposed to dissolve my personal bank account? What will I do? Christ will dissolve your personal bank account, and then Christ will reveal to you Christ's abundance, which is infinite, which is the crucible oil that never runs dry. It's the water in you that springs up into life everlasting. It's the hidden manna that comes in the dead of night and awakens you from your sleep on more levels than just one. So when we are finally in agreement with that, we relax and say, okay, thy will be done. I've gone this entire journey. It's taken me 10 years, and now I say, thy will be done. On earth as in heaven. And son of a gun, it starts flowing. And I do have a better companion, even though it's the same one I had. She's improving, or he's improving. Wow. And I do have a better income. And I do have more abundance. And I do have a better life. And I do have more vitality. But I didn't get them from seeking them. Because what I'm seeing is not mine. It's thine appearing on earth. You see, it's no longer my personal health, my personal companion, my personal abundance. Now it's flowing from the invisible. It's Christ's abundance, Christ's companionship, Christ's life. See, you're perfectly free to enjoy them. And you always remember, this is Christ. I am but a witness. Now you've really entered the path. And now you will start drawing people, not even trying. This inner Christ has made you a fishers of men. He says, can you leave all your material dependencies? Can you leave your dependency on your family for love, justice, and mercy, and expect these only from the Father? That's a tough one, but that's the way personal sense lives, and we are dying to that. So we're not looking anymore to family for love, justice, and mercy. We're looking only to the Father for the Father's will. Thy kingdom come, let earth and the kingdom be one. Can you turn from expecting justice from a judge and a jury? There's another tough one. And expect it from the Father within your own being? I've had to do that too. Maybe I'll tell you about it sometime. Maybe I'll tell you about it when we meet. Can you turn from expecting gratitude, reward, recognition, or appreciation from your employer or employees, or from members of your family, or, in my case, from members of the Mystical Principles group? Yes, I have to not look there. And I've failed in that sometimes. I've made a talk, and I've posted it, and people have heard it. And I look, and there's no emails. Nobody's even mentioning that they even saw it. So if I'm looking to these folks for gratitude and recognition and reward, I'm looking amiss. But then I can look only to the Father. Here, Father, it's yours. You do what you want with it. And then it seems like everybody had a really good talk. And they tell me it's wonderful. But I know who's really saying that. Can you follow only the spirit within and not the personal sense without? There you go. You should take that and put it on a 3x5, put it up on your bathroom mirror or your vanity so that you see it every day. Can I follow only the spirit within and not the personal sense without? That's really the whole thing. We can close the book and go on our way with that. Where are you now in consciousness? Are you still at the place where you say to the Master, no, go on for a season. I must catch more fish for my family. Go on, while I stay behind here and rely on human beings for recognition and reward and for cooperation and gratitude. Or have you reached that point of consciousness that the disciples had reached when, without question, they laid down their nets? Now I have a lady that I love, and we had been listening to some Herb Fitch tapes together, and when we realize that you really do have to lay aside all personal sense, and you have to stop loving, fearing, or resenting personal sense. You are perfectly free to love the Father within them, the Christ, the Spirit, but not the personal sense. That we had to learn to love the one in the many, not the many in the one. And when we do this, I found from having the experience that you don't have to have someone to love them. You don't have to have them to love them. You don't have to have anybody. You don't even have to have yourself. So when we got to that place, when we recognized that personal sense had to go, she couldn't do it. She said, I'm not ready for this. She was in a place where she had a son who had just, he and his wife made a baby, or he and his girlfriend, I don't remember which. And so she was a grandmother now. And all her love and attention was on the baby. Well, that's what grandmothers do, right? Not on the path, I'm afraid. Oh, yes, you can pick up the baby and love the baby and hug the baby. And you can do everything that it looks exactly the same as a regular grandmother. Except you will be loving the Christ within that baby. You will be seeing through the personal baby into the infinite Christ baby. And the baby won't know any difference, except that it'll respond in a spiritual way. But she couldn't do that, and she said, I'm not ready. And that was pretty much it. No more tapes. So, here's the question. Can you follow only the spirit within and not the personal sense without? Can you love only the spirit within that individual and not the personal sense without? This is a demanding path. Few there be that enter. Where are you now in consciousness? Are you able to do like the disciples and lay down your nets, which is personal sense? The Master was not asking those men to follow a man named Jesus. He was asking them to follow the teaching that the I within is the Savior, the Messiah, the Christ. And today, no one is asking you or your students to follow a man. Yes, those of you who have written to me, a lot of you have written back and said, always follow what's coming to you within. Over anything, even over anything I say, you follow what's coming to you from within. That's the only teacher. And when I first met Herb, I walked into his hotel room and I said, I need to tell you, you're not my teacher. I have a teacher within. And he smiled from ear to ear. So, no one is asking you or your students to follow a man or to follow a book, but to follow me, the I, the spirit, at the center of your being. Leave your nets, your personal sense of things, and follow the I. Leave your material modes and means and follow the I. The spirit within you, the divine Christ, trust it rather than trust something or somebody out here in this external realm. Some of you, at least, have reached a point in your spiritual development where you are being called upon to choose this day whom you will serve. Some of you have not yet left your nets. Some of you have not yet left your reliance and confidence in material means and human beings. Some of you have not yet learned to rely completely on the Father within. But now, you are being called upon to leave your nets. That was somewhat of a short chapter, but very powerful in that it is pointing out to us that the time has come. How does Paul say it? It's so wonderful. When I was a child, I played with childish things, but now the time has come to be an adult. That's where we're standing. If you're hearing this message and you're comprehending, if you really know inside of yourself that you must put off mortality, let go of your nets, leave your nets, and turn within and see what the within manifests as. You've had your personal sense life, the temple made by mind, by beliefs in good and evil, by concepts. Where has it got you? Not very far. Now, the voice within you, if you hear this and you understand what laying down a personal sense of self means, you are being asked to do that. You are standing on the threshold of a whole new existence. You are standing on the threshold of a brand new dimension, a dimension that you can walk in, that's here and now, a kingdom not made by mind, a kingdom which is eternal, a dimension which is eternal. You can walk in it now. You can live in it. Let us be still a moment and have a meditation. Follow me. I have come that they might have life, and life more abundantly. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men, of they that have life more abundantly. Of course, your sustenance is included. I will give you rest. How many times have we heard that? Joel says, rest more in the Christ. Think less. Think less. Jesus says, take no thought. Rest. There remaineth a rest to the people of God. You are a people of God if you are surrendering personal sense, if you are leaving your nets. And behold, I make all things new. Yes, because it's a temple made, not made by hands. It's a temple made by spirit. It's a temple eternal, an eternal place. Christ said, through Jesus, I go to prepare a place for you. And the place is prepared. And it is this eternal dimension. Some call it the kingdom of heaven here and now. Christ said the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's here. The fourth dimension, the spiritual dimension, is right here. You awaken to the fact that you're walking in it now. You awaken to the fact that as you rest and you behold, I really do make all things new. I make a new Jerusalem. I make a new heaven. I make a new earth. I make a new you. Be still and know that I do these things. Know from experience. Know from witnessing. Know from feeling the descent of the Holy Spirit. And know from being lifted up into its presence. You have found eternal life. As I promised you, you would. You see, you don't move from this world into my kingdom. You don't get into my kingdom. I finally understand what a man told me 40 years ago. You don't get into my kingdom. You awaken into it. You awaken to it. Hey, here it is. I'm in it. Look at the Spirit moving things around. Look at the Spirit appearing. Oh, that's wonderful. Oh, that's lovely. Oh, how nice. Yes, I have come. Don't be afraid, my friends, to let go of personal sense. You will find that, as we said last week, the only place you can land is in the everlasting arms of Spirit, of Christ, of God the Father. Lose your life and find your eternal life. Leave your nets, your little nets, and find abundance. Loose him and let him go, and awaken to the I that will never leave you nor forsake you. I really am within you. Only be still. I am here. Think not, and I am come. Stand stock still and feel my vibration. Forget all your decisions, and I will lift you up. It is my good pleasure to do this for you, my beloved child, in whom I am well pleased. And before he was halfway home, the father fell on his neck and kissed him. My son that was lost now is found. And he put the ring on his finger and the robe on his shoulders. Welcome home. Thank you so much for drawing this out today, for reminding me of things I needed to remember. Thank you for being here, flowing through, and making a talk not made by mind, and perhaps eternal in the heavens. And thank you, everyone, for taking the time to listen. Blessings.